overnight. So be wary of that. Rod is in Cambridge. Hello, Rod. Can you hear me?
I can. I certainly can. I'm battling my way through the traffic, but we're virtually through it now. My question to Dr. Carl is, because I'm one of these crazy people that do the ocean swimming. And we've noticed in the last little while, it's only been the last fortnight, that the water in the southeast part of Tassie is coming from Antarctica and overriding the warm current that normally comes down the eastern side. And it's been on the news a couple of times here that definitely it's an event that hasn't happened for a long time, but the Antarctic current is now coming into the southeast section of Tassie quite dramatically, and it has dropped the temperature of the water, even just swimming in close to shore.
Ah, well, we do know that over time, the east coast current has been getting stronger and stronger and bringing heat further down, and now there's a bit of a change. So what we really need is a tame, genuine oceanographer.
Well, that we do. Well, let's find out what Dr. Edward Doddridge thinks. Wow, isn't this just completely coincidental? Physical oceanographer at IMAS, the Institute for Marine and Antarctic Studies. Hello, Edward. Have you got an answer to this?
Hello. Well, perhaps. certainly, if we look at the maps of sea surface temperature, you can see there's a really sharp gradient from about the Tasman Peninsula down to Bruny Island. And further south, around the southern edge of Bruny, there is the influence of a southern flow coming up. That's not all the way from Antarctica, but definitely from further south, where it's colder, bringing some colder water up to that part of Tasmania. So if you went swimming off the central east coast of Tasmania and then you drove as fast as you could down to the south of Bruny and jumped in the water there, it would feel colder, absolutely.
Are you happy with that, Rod? Does that
kind of... Well, that's where I'm about to swim in the morning at 7:30, so that's very interesting. So I'll keep that in mind when I put the toe in the water that, yes, it's not just me being silly. There is a reason for it.
How are you finding the swims? I mean, aside from the cold.
No, you don't notice the cold. You really don't. I'm still swimming in bathers at the moment. There are people that swim in bathers all the time. But no, it's the camaraderie of everybody. It's the warming up is the experience more so than the getting the cold.
Yeah,
it's a lot of fun.
Good on you, Rod. Keep it up. Thanks for your time. Thanks for the call.
No trouble. Thank you.
Cheers.
Bye.
And Dr. Carl, I believe you have a question for Edward.
Yeah, Dr. Edward, can I ask you about the thermohaline current and if you could give a brief background of that for me and the audience? And secondly, is there any evidence of little offsprings of it weakening up around the Arctic regions?
Oh, all right. So, summary of the thermohaline circulation, or we often call it now the meridional overturning circulation, because there's a bit of debate in the community about whether it's driven purely by the temperature and salinity, so thermohaline, or also by the wind. So we tend to use this slightly more all-encompassing name now. Now, it goes all the way around the world. Up in the North Atlantic, where sea ice forms in the Labrador Sea around Greenland and places like that, when that ice forms, you get cold, salty water that sinks down out of that ice and it flows along the bottom of the ocean southwards. And that same process happens around Antarctica in a few special places along the coastline. And that water flows down and it flows northwards away from Antarctica. And it has to come back up somewhere. So the water from the North Atlantic tends to come up around the Antarctic, and the water from the Antarctic goes all around the world. It comes up in some places in the Pacific, and some of it comes back to the Antarctic and blends with that North Atlantic water and comes back up to the surface. So that's a brief synopsis of this kind of globe-spanning circulation that moves heat and salt all around the world and plays a really important role in our climate. Now, in terms of whether it's slowing down or changing up in the North Atlantic, it's really hard to measure because it's such a big scale current. It covers the whole ocean. The best indications we have are that it's not dramatically changing. So day after tomorrow-like scenarios probably aren't happening right now. But it is one of the things we really worry about for climate change, because as the surface of the ocean gets warmer and as the big ice sheets melt and put fresh water in the top of the ocean, we think it's going to disrupt the formation of this cold, salty water that sinks down. So it's one of the things we're keeping an eye on. but it doesn't look like it's changing dramatically just yet.
Ah, and can you explain, with regard to that movie Day After Tomorrow, how global warming can cause a sudden cold change in Europe and the east coast of the USA?
Absolutely. It's kind of counterintuitive, isn't it? So the ocean circulation helps move heat away from the equator to the poles. If you think about the whole world, the sun shines more strongly on the equator, so it receives more heat. And some of that heat has to get moved away from the equator towards the poles and gets reflected out into space. And that process happens through ocean circulation and through the atmosphere. So if you slow down that transport, then you expect that there's less heat moving up away from the equator, and then you get some cooling in those regions if you slow that heat transport down.
Ah, because my vague and naive impression was that increased global warming led to increased fresh water coming into the North Atlantic, which then stopped the cold water from, which stopped the warm water from coming up from the equator, leading to cooling. So warmth led to cooling in the USA, East Coast and the West Coast of Europe. Is that kind of it?
Yeah, absolutely. But it is important to remember that it's cooling in the context of a warming world. So it's unlikely to get much colder. It's just not going to get as much warmer as the rest of the world.
Dr. Edward, love your work as always. We have to leave it there. We're about to head to the weather very, very shortly, but I should connect you two because I feel like you'd have fascinating discussions on and off air. Thanks so much for your time and for answering those questions.
Oh, thanks for the call. Always a pleasure.
Good on you, Dr. Edward Doddridge there, physical oceanographer at the Institute for Marine and Antarctic Studies. There are still so many questions coming in, Dr.